Today's daf is daf Samach Dalet. But it's definitely not a sad day today. It's actually a happy day today because it is Lag BaOmer. So Samach Dalet is just there to remind you of all the things that were. And we got up to the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, and we're up to the two dots, which are four lines up. Ketzad Yarad. So the Mishnah spoke about a case where someone had gone down to Beit Tovel, went into the Mara, and then we discovered that there was a Meit Tzofal Pnei Amayim, and we spoke about the din of Tumata Tahom, that's not called Tumata Tahom, that's called a regular Safek Tuma, since the Mara's Reshut HaYachid, the din is that Safek Tuma Reshut HaYachid, Sveko Tame. Now that was all very nice. However, you must know that in actuality, the Mishnah has touched here upon another one of these weird, seemingly without logic dinim, and that is that in discussing a floating mate, it already makes you think about a new category of tuma, and this is a tuma which we talked about, a tuma that hasn't entered the consciousness of the world, and that was the tumata tahom, which is not a mate. There is also a tuma that has not entered the space of the world. Now, what is that? That's called tuma tzofa, where you have a tuma that is not in its natural place. And therefore, you view it as being somehow an intrusion into what is expected in the Seder Hadvarim in the world. There is also a limud from the Pasuk that such a tuma is not metame besafek, just like the Tumata Tahom is not metame. So says the Gemara, that's only reason that the Tumat Sofa is tame over here is because it's talking about a mate. But if what had been on the water was a sheretz, then it would not have been metame. Obviously, it's not vis-a-vis Nazirut. But even let's say the Gabe Achilas Truma, somebody went down, found a sheretz Sofa al Pnei Amayim, and it's a Sofik, even it's in Rishut HaYachid, Sveiko Tahor, Titania. Safek tumat safat. If you have tuma which is now floating on the water and therefore, in a sense, not where it belongs on the earth. So, bein bekelin, bein bekarka, whether that water is contained inside of a container, artificial container, or whether it's in the lake or the ocean, it's bekarka, it's tahar. Rabbi Shimon Omer, bekelim tmei'a, that's not true. If it's in a kli, then it's considered basically to be on the surface. And if it's bekarka, then it's tohar. Now, where does all of this come from? And there's a secondary issue. When we say the mate versus a sheretz, do we mean an ultimate mate versus ultimate sheretz, or do we mean the din of tumat sofa, having been said by a sheretz, is limited to tumat marga? So, vis-a-vis a mate also would have been nogea tumat marga. But it's only tumat ohel, where we didn't learn out the din from sheretz, that there it would be different. The truth is, it's a major machlokas rishonim, which is different, now causes differences in how to understand the entire sugyan in some places, even gir sa'ot. According to the Rambam, the din of tumat sofa is said by sheretz and tumat sheretz, and not by mate and any tumat mate, even including margav the mate. According to many other rishonim, we only limit the din that we don't learn by mate from sheretz to those things which are unique by mate, which is olam mate. But when it comes to magamate, the suffix of magamate would also have been tohor, just like a suffix tumas sofa besheretz would be tohor. My time at the Tanakhama, where do we get this din from bichlal? Before we talk about the machlokas, what is the makor for this strange din that something that is sofa is not matami? Omri v'yitzuk baravadimi. Look, take a look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, by the way, this seems to be the wrong pasuk. Because the correct pasuk should be the pasuk that is very similar, which appears in the middle of Dimas Tumas Sheretz, as opposed to the Achila Sheretz, which is Ba Sheretz HaShoretz. The Ba Sheretz HaShoretz Ala Oretz, and that tells me Ba Sheretz HaShoretz. Don't add the words Ala Oretz. Ba Sheretz HaShoretz. I mean, there's plenty of Shoretzim that are Metame that are not necessarily have to be Ala Oretz. You tell me, Koma Kom Shu Shoretz. So let's say you have a Sheretz that would have been on the water because it's swimming in the water. I mean, that's also a Sheretz Ashoretz. If it would die, so then that should be Sheretz Ashoretz. And yet on the other hand, it says Ala Oretz. If you're saying Ala Oretz, just say Bishop Chalot Sheretz Ala Oretz. So which way is it? Is it Sheretz Komokom Shu Sheretz, or is it as the pasuk continues? Ala Oretz. Harketza. What we have to do is distinguish between a case of Vadai and a case of Zafek. So if you know you came into contact with the Sheretz, its placement is irrelevant. But we know very well that the placement is extremely relevant when it comes to Sveikot. We have a din of Safek Tumer Brishut HaRabim, Safek Tumer Brishut HaYachid. Here too, the Pasuk is clearly being mechalek between the place where the Safek occurs by the Sheretz. So if it occurs in its normal Makom Shirutz, Ala Oretz, so then the Safek is Tameh. If it's not in its normal space, the case of the Safek is also Tahar. Very unusual halacha. Again, all types of ramifications of placement of people in the world, in time, in knowledge, which of course is the issue of Safek Bichlal, and in consciousness, which was the issue of Tahom and awareness, even if it wasn't your awareness. Very, very strange issues, but the truth is not really all that strange if you consider that Tumah itself is very strange. And the nature of Tumah is a function of basically Da'at, because it has to do with the Pasuk. Chochmat Vada'at, we take Vayamun Etzitecha Chosin Shuas Chochmat Vada'at, is connected to the six stages of the Mishnah. Da'at is connected to Harot, and therefore it itself is not something that's detectable in simple physical terms, obviously. So people think the whole thing is weird. But the whole idea of Tumah is entirely a human consciousness idea. Therefore, the question of placement of that consciousness in terms of time, space, general awareness, and personal awareness is critical. And this is a very unique halacha. You never, obviously, never get into something like this when it has to do with whether something's kosher to eat or not. I mean, either it has the simanim, it doesn't have the simanim. Then we talk about a simple objective reality as if Adam is just an intrusion into a real world. But here, the whole world becomes an extension of the human mind. And so we have all halachas that appear to us very strange. Beams of tuna and awareness and knowledge and weird. But that's Das, after all. Very weird kind of phenomena, too, when you think about it. How the heck does all that protoplasm gunk turn into thoughts? So it's the same issue as Tumah itself.
Is the Tahom
we're talking about here the same as...
We're not talking about it anymore.
No, the Tahom that being referred to.
We're not referring to it anymore. That was yesterday.
Yes.
You mean you were trying to sneak in something that was a question for before?
Yes. Well,
that was pretty sneaky. But we caught you.
So, according to the Rambam, how does the mate spoil the water? Isn't that an intrusion according to the Rambam?
Yeah, just that the Kiddush wasn't said by mate. That's how he understands the whole sugi. The Kiddush was said by Sheretz. Rebbe Shimon, my time. Where does Rebbe Shimon get the difference between the Suffolk and between the Kli and the actual Yam, or Karka, or Ma'ula? Ula says, you know, Rebbe Shimon darshins another very, very strange pasuk. Consider the pasuk, Ach ma'ayanu bor mikveh mayim yeh tohor, which is fine, until you look at the end of the pasuk. The next words are, v'nogeh v'nivlatam yitma. Now, what in the world does the din of bor mikveh mayim have to do with nogeh v'nivlatam? I mean, it's outrageous, not sequitur. So clearly the pasuk is trying to tell you something about the nature of negiah in the context of bor mikveh mayim, right? Otherwise, the pasuk makes no sense at all. Therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, explains Ula, on the one hand it says the Ach Mayanu Bor Mikvamai, on the other hand it says, I don't care about the fact that it's mine. How to explain that? Okay, so the only way to understand it is that the common denominator of Bor Mikvamayim and so on is that it's natural containers on the earth. Mashenkin, over here, we're talking about Safa Bekalim. Hot Safa Bekalim Tamei. And that's the only way to understand the Kiddush of that pasuk. So that means the din of Tzafa is limited by the pasuk of Ach Bor Mikveh Mayim. Tana Rabbana, we further learn in the Braita that Kol HaNitalin VaNigrarin. Let's say that somebody is in the water and it's a kid who is playing with a dead Sheretz. Now this is lots of fun. We've seen many, many dinim that kids love playing with their shratzim, making funerals for them, you know, and so on. We even have the psik reisha of the little dead the puppet, you know, the head of the tyrant, and go, what a shame, I didn't know it died just because you cut off a head. But anyway, here's another case where a kid is playing with the sherets in the water and is moving it through the water, and now the shiloh's with the poor guy who went to the, you were playing with a what? But anyway, there he was in the water. Did he become tummy or not? Or it could be nigrori. Maybe a guy is standing outside of the water and has got a little string attached to his dead sherets and pulling it on the string to see, hey, look, daddy. Yeah, it's swimming. So in those cases, it's not called saf. They're tzveikan tamei because it's attached to a human who basically knows what they're doing. They're ala aretz. That's not called saf. But for all intents and purposes, they are attached to the earth, part of your normal experiences. But hanizrakin, anything that would be thrown into a situation, now it's no longer under human control. So there it's considered to be tzaf. There's sveikan tahor, except for the case of kizayit bin hamet, because we've already seen that the din is limited to mitamin b'maga, either mitamin exclusively b'maga, or masa like sheretz, or in the case where we are talking about a tumas maga, as I said, that's about Klokas, the Rambam, and many other Rishonim. So it could be kizayit bin hamet, or any case of ma'hil al pnei tuma, or whether you're walking over it, or whether somebody threw something, and that would be ma'hil over you, it doesn't matter, whatever the case was. And the truth is, kol davar shemetami milamala kalamata, anything which is going to be matame in a way that a sheretz cannot possibly be matame. And what would that be referring to if not a mate? Latu is zav v'zava. Where over there you have elyonor shel zav, tachtonor shel zav, mishkav elyon, mishkav tachton, where it's possible to be matame something without carrying it and without touching it. Now that's not similar to a sheretz. And therefore it isn't learned from the dinim of sheretz in this halacha of tzofa. So in all of these cases, those are not included in the din of tzafa, safik, tahar, even b'shut ha-yachid. Boy, Rami Bar Choma, my question is, and this question that Rami Bar Choma raises, is a question that is raised, and we've had it many, many times, in all types of different contexts. What is the meaning of space in the halacha? Is it relative, or is it absolute? In other words, do we view the earth as some type of absolute space, and we measure things as either munach or tzof in terms of the earth, or do we look at the local space? Which would mean that if you have something inside of a kli, and now the kli is floating, do we measure your space in terms of you are at rest, because you're at the kli, and we don't see any movement in local space, so vis-a-vis the kli are not moving, or do we say no, but we see movement in terms of the earth, and we view the earth as your absolute space? So how do we measure? We had that question, Magabi Otzon, Shabbos, is something considered to be munach when it's munach and a kli? Here we basically have to ask ourselves the same question. So how about in a case where you have mate b'kli, the kli tzaf agabe mayim? Now, of course, according to the Rambam, this makes no sense. Because the Rambam says there's no din of tzaf by mate at all. And here's where the changes in the girsa become important. According to the Rambam, the girsa here is sheretz b'kli. Because a mate b'kli anyway is irrelevant, there's no din of tumat tzaf on mate. Masha'en kain, according to the other Rishonim, like the Rosh, he learns mate, and it's referring to a case of whether you came into contact with the mate. Contact with the mate is the equivalent of sheretz, because sheretz has tumas maga, mate also has tumas maga. That part does have tumas tzofa. But if you were my heel on this mate, then there wouldn't be din of tumas tzofa. Okay, so according to him, we could have the nusach, the girthir, as we have. But let's learn like the Rambam learns, you have a sheretz v'kli, we'll keep it simple, you have a sheretz v'kli, you have a kli that is tzaf apne amayim. How do you look at it? Mahu. But a kli azlinan, do you go according to the local space, which is the kli? O batar maya azlinan. This would be the girsa that contrasts the local space of the kli versus the water. So in other words, if you're going the kli is moving, is one way of understanding it. So then that kli would be tzafa. And then we would say, o batar maya, that no, the water is at rest. Or we could have the other girsa, but the kli, and vis-a-vis the kli, you are at rest, which is, and that's the way the Rosh has it, So you usually view it that way in the Gemaras. And, or Batar Metas, you know, that we look directly to, or Sheret, directly, where is, in terms of the earth, where is this thing? So there's two different ways of looking at it, but it boils down to the same question of a relative space or an absolute space. So Imtim Salomar Batar, it's amazing that in Dat we should be raising all of these issues, obviously, right? In terms of your relationship to the world, all of these questions of relativistic issues are all, and these quantum issues that are coming up, are all functions of that. It's remarkable. And this is the place where the issues are raised. So now, im timtzom bata kli azlina. So now, of course, those who learned the girsa before, that bata kli azlina would mean that bata kli, and the kli is not at rest, because the kli is moving, they would have to read im timtzom lav bata kli azlina. If we read it, and they change the gears. So the Rosh has the gears of love. Okay, but the simple way of reading it with our gears is very good if we learn it our way. That not contrasting the Kli and the mate, but contrasting the Kli and the Maya. So then this works out perfectly well. So Imtim Tzomar about that Kli Aslina. If you're telling me that we look at your local space, okay, how about a case where you have a Sheretz? Now here, the girsa is not good, according to the Rambam, because even if you substitute sheretz for mate, it doesn't work, because then it's sheretz agabe sheretz, which is a question that's raised later. But the Rambam does have a change in the girsa, which is sheretz agabe mate. So it works out perfectly well. The sheretz agabe mate, the question is the sheretz considered to be tumatzafa, or do we say that, well, let's take a look at the matrix, the sheretz is on the mate, and now we're looking at, do we look at the whole, this is all just tuma that's floating, so who cares if it's a mate? Or is the mate the equivalent of a kli? What would that be dependent on? So the first question that it would be dependent on is whether we need to separate clearly between the sheretz and the matrix for the sheretz, which is the mate. So do we say, since they are so fundamentally different, ma, kivan dehai tumat erev, hai tumat shiva. I mean, to compare a sheretz to a mate, when the impact of the tumah is so utterly different, one being matami for 7 days and one being matami for 1 day, we can't view it as just an extended piece of tumah and say, therefore, clearly it's only floating on the water. There the matrix is so different from that which is upon it, that it's the same as if it were floating on the kli. So do we say that since it's so different, kamandam akutumah b'kli damya, it should be as if it's in the kli, and therefore at rest. O dilma tuma samichtahi, or do we say this is all thick, one thick piece of tuma? What's the difference if it's different types of tuma? And therefore, it's not at rest. And therefore, vis-a-vis the gibbet sheretz, the halacha would be that it's tuma tzafa. And it would be tar in the case of a sofik, even b'rishut ha-yachid. Ve'im tim tzolomer kamanda machta tuma b'kli damya. If you want to tell me, well, in this case, man, it is so different because, I mean, the mate and the sheretz are like totally in different worlds, and one is like a kli. So then, what about if you have a sheretz aga, take out those words for Tommy Vada, sheretz aga be nevela, nevela tzaf. How about now if you have a sheretz on top of a nevela? Now here, mouth. Over here, in the veil and the sheretz are very similar. I mean, there are technical differences, but in terms of the amount of time that you're tame, do we say, kiven the tervayot tumat eravinun? So over here, we could certainly view it as a piece of tuma. You touch the sheretz part, and the whole thing is basically floating. What's the difference whether between the sheretz and the water there was an avela? Who cares? The whole thing is tuma that is floating. Oh, Dilma, or do we say, well, you can't view it as tuma that's floating because there's completely different dinim in the shiur of this tuma. I mean, the halacha over here is that the nevela is only betami bekezayit, whereas the sheretz is bekaadasha. So how can you compare the two? Okay, so then my question is sheretz agave sheretz. Now we get to that question. Sheretz agave sheretz mao. I mean, ane vare chat shiur, and you know. I mean, over here it's all one thing basically, right? I mean, it's, you know, same halacha, so just view it as, well, you didn't touch the bottom piece. What's the difference at the bottom piece, the top piece? The whole thing is floating sheretz. So therefore, it should be a tzafik of tuma tzafa and be tar b'rishut ha-yachid. Oh, dilma kiva the mafsikim yadur. We said, look, bottom line is, who cares about the identity of the thing that you're floating on? You're floating on something else. And therefore, you are basically at rest locally, and therefore it's not too mitzvah. Maybe that's how to look at it. Or maybe since Lamaisa they are two separate pieces, you can't consider it as if it's floating. If you want to tell me that a sheretz on top of another sheretz, because it's a separate physical identity, given the mafsika me'adad, it has a local space that's defined by what it is on, namely the other sheretz, and it's command demuncha beklidami, it's as if it's in a kli. How about a case of a sheretz which is floating on a gelled piece of decayed nevela? So over there, the nevela is nimucha. It's already turned into a liquid. Maho. Kiven de nimucha avele mashke. Do we say, okay, well, right now it's liquid. So, I mean, certainly it's part of the not being on the something settled. I mean, liquid by definition. Isn't that the point? I mean, who cares what it was? Odioma. Do we say, hai uchlehu? Look, the bottom line is the identification of nevela is as a foodstuff. And since it's as a foodstuff, this whole halacha of tuma being munach in something can't possibly apply to a foodstuff where the foodstuff itself is not viewed as an extension of mayim because of all of its other dinim, and that it has a definition which gives it a solidity. So how about, imtim zorba de uchlo, you want to tell me that a nevela is considered to be food, because it starts off as a solid. How about sheretz agabe shichvat zeramau? How about if there's semen floating in the water, and you have now a piece of dead sheretz, which is now munach on the shichvat zera, do we say semen is basically liquid, and therefore it's considered to be, it's floating, so this whole thing is floating. Or do we say, vimtum sarvakivet demit akra, do we say that because of the fact that initially the semen is part of a body, so we view it as a solid thing. Because then we have a concept of mashkin in certain cases that is considered to be uchla de ifras. It starts off as a solid, so to speak, because we view a pre as a pre. Now, after you squeeze the pre, the liquid that's in it, it has a din sometimes of uchla de ifrat. In the same sense, we talk about, and it's not a coincidence, because the din of uchla d'ifras said by peros, shekvazera has a din of peros. But it's always called pri. That's how we know where to do a bris milah, from the din of orla. Orla is said on a makom of peros, and therefore we understand that a bris milah has to do with makom of peros, which is reproduction. Not coincidentally, the only sucrose in the body is semen. Fructose is semen, because it's fruit. That becomes now the makor of pirayon, which is pre. So over here the question is, do we say that initially we view this as part of an entire body, so it's also called uchla. And therefore, since it's mitakra, you're only going to get it through ejaculation, so then avileki uchla lamaisa, it starts off as part of a solid piece, which is a human body. Then I would ask you, what about sheretz agabe mechatat? Now mechatat is clearly a liquid. So then what? I mean, is that just water? Because we even call it mayim, mechatat. So it's basically an extension of the water upon which everything is floating. And the mechatat is tzaf al pnei hamayim. Mahu, or do we say, but the mechatat is a unique identity, and it's thicker, because it's mixed with the ash, and therefore you can't just call it water. It's not it may be liquid, but it's not water. Mahu. Lo yadin, I give up, you know. Take it. Let it stand. Forget about the take it. I give up.
That's all these cases.
Well, I mean, we have a klal in the Ben Rishon and Paskin, according to an Imtim Saloma. If you would say this, then that's the way we say it. Omer of Amuna. Sorry? Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, we know that halachically we distinguish in the makor of a thing, even in going so far as to distinguish between tal and mayim. Right? If it starts off as a condensate, we don't view it as the same thing as starting off as a liquid. So a lot of halachic distinctions in the Nami, obviously, at the point that it becomes bottle, you're right, it becomes entirely mayim. Over here, it's talking about a case where we see the mechatas, and it's there as an entity, and there's something that's floating on it. So is it considered to be ala mayim, or is it considered to be the equivalent of ala kli? This is the question of how really to look at that pasuk, ach mayanu bor mikveh mayim, whether it's really distinguishing between literally kli or between the natural state of bor mikveh mayim. Amar Rav Amnuna. Now Rav Amnuna says something over which on the surface seems to be an outrageous violation of the dinim of the Mishnah itself. But as we come to clarify it, we will come to recognize that what actually Rav Amnuna is raising is a very important question, which is, what is the relationship of the end piece of the Mishnah that talks about if you were already tahor, then we have this din of tumata tahom. But if you had a suffix tumah, we no longer have the halacha of tumata tahom because you remain on your suffix tumah, right? The question is, and this is going to force us to contemplate something we didn't think about before, what do you call tahora? In other words, do we mean as long as you completed doing whatever you can do, and now we are basically over your original chazaka, or does it mean until you become actually tahor? The difference would be, of course, where you are at tfuliyom. If you're at tfuliyom, you could say, okay, but the process of tahara is over. I mean, I don't have to do anything. Well, you don't have to do anything, but the planet still has to revolve. So in that sense, you haven't finished the time of your tumah. We have a cheskes tumah. It's not exactly the same tumah as it was before, but it comes from the tumah it was before. Or do we say that the idea over here is, once everything has been completed, so what are you going to say now? It's chazaka that I didn't do what was done, and I was stable. The rest happens automatically. This is what it is that Rav Amnuna really ends up talking about. But he says it in a way that confuses us and forces us to zero in on what his real meaning is. Some Rav Amnuna, anozer and anozer pesach, that were hoilat bekever atom bishvi shalahim. Ooh, now this is interesting. It's on the seventh day, and obviously they were coming now. He's talking about a case where this Nazir, Nazir Pesach, had been Tamei B'Meit, and they were now, the Nazir wanted to restart his Tuma, and the one who was wanted to go get his Korban Pesach, he wanted to make sure it was Tahor B'Zman. So they both had Shlishi B'Shvi, and their Tevel, and so on, and yet it's still B'Shvi Shalom Tahori. My time, huh? The law lima tumatatom. Let me start. The rule is tumatatom is not powerful enough to be soter something that was already done. And over here, the pesach was already brought, and the nezirut was already completed. Nothing to say. Masiv Rava, what in the world are you talking about? The Mishnah says not like you. You're saying that a case where someone had gone to become tahor, he had already been tameh before. Tumata tom is not strong enough to be soter, and the Mishnah says not like that. The Mishnah said yarad v'taher mi tumata meit tamei. That in a case where the tumata tahom enters into the picture, where somebody was going to the mikvah in order to become tahor, then tumata tahom is a non-issue because we first have to establish that you become tahor, and a cheskat tamei and cheskat tahor. And it doesn't apply, and you're applying it in a case where the Mishnah says it doesn't apply. Omar Lehi said, Rav Amnuna said, now, wait a minute. I agree that you'd be right. Look, I certainly agree that in a case where the Nazir has to do his Tiglachat Tum'ah, right? The Mishnah's talking about that he's a Mechusar Tiglachat. So in other words, if he's mechusar tiglachat, so then he's mechusar the tefillah. So if that's the case, he's being yored because the tiglachat comes afterwards in the tiglachat tumah. So therefore, I agree with you. And when I said on the seventh day, what do you think I was talking about? I mean, talking about where there was still tumah? No, I'm talking about where there's no longer any tumah. Omar Leirov, oh, I didn't understand you. Well, I agree with you too. I mean, obviously, if the guy is an Ose Pesach and he doesn't have a Tiglachat, I mean, if that's what you're talking about, yeah, well, isn't that, yeah, it's obvious. I agree with you too. If he already went to the mikvah and he's already Tahor, so then yes, you're right. The din of Tumas at Tahom is irrelevant. In other words, I mean, it applies. Therefore, it makes the suffix irrelevant, right? But I'm not certain that you're saying anything important then. I mean, because we're all agreed. Amalia Ba, you're all agreed. Why are you agreed? It shouldn't be true. Because, I mean, what you're just agreed to, Rava, is something that Rav Amnuna actually was saying that was extremely significant, which is, he said it's on the seventh day. But if it's on the seventh day, then by definition, he can't be Tahar. He might have gone to the mikveh, but he's still on the same day that he went to the mikveh. So then he's still Tameh Tumas Erev. And he's not going to, I should say Tumas Erev, he's still a Tvuyon. And he's not going to be Tahar until Mechutzer, until he's on Harev Shemesh. Therefore, he asks, Abayam Le'abayav Mechutzer Harev Shemesh. Ah, Amalei, that's exactly the Chiddush here. That's the whole point of this discussion. Rav Amnuna is adding that even though the Mishnah didn't clarify what we mean by a Cheskas Tuma, you might have thought that a Cheskas Tuma means until such point as the Tuma is concluded. Rav Amnuna's Chiddush is that it doesn't mean that. It means until such point as what you need to do for the Tuma is concluded. You finished your Azoya Shlishi V'Shvi, you went to the mikveh. So now what are you saying? Yeah, but I mean, you can't say Cheskas Tame isn't Tame. Yeah, of course you can. Because the Chazaka here is basically in the hands of nature. The planet is going to continue to revolve, whether you have a Cheskas Tuma or not. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, Shimshon Mela Arva, that sun is going to set. And therefore, what did Shai have to say? But I have a Cheskas Tuma. You don't have a Cheskas Tuma. It's over. And what you are is a Tvuyom is not an application of the Cheskas Tuma that we say Raglayim Ladover, that even Tumat HaTahom should be Tame. It's not true. This is a classic Tumat HaTahom, and therefore I use the word Lemistar. You'll notice, says Rav Amnuna, you didn't bother me with that. It's a Lemistar. And yet I talked to you about a case where we don't have to be Lemistar. We have to be talking about whether you ever became Tahar. No, you became Tahar. That's the whole point I'm making. Even though it's on Shvi. Truth is, says the Gemara, Af Abaye Hodarbe. Even Abaye ends up agreeing with this fact. The Tanya, in other words, even though Abaye was the one who asked the question, but what about Erev Shemesh? After Abaye heard from Rav Shimshon Memela Arva, he recognized that we would never apply a Cheskas Tuma to a case where you've already done everything and the only problem is Harav Shemesh. Where do we see that Abaye himself ended up adopting the words of Rava, the Tanya? Yom Malot Tavi, Toch Malot Lo Tavi. Now the halacha over here is in reference not to the Malot of Nezirut that we've been talking about, but to the Malot of Yoledet. So remember that a Yoledet has now Yemei Tahora, either the 7 days or 2 weeks, Tuma followed by either 33 days or 66 days, depending on the Zachar of the Nekeva. On the 80th day of a Nekeva, and that's the case that we have to be talking about in our Gemara, as we'll see. In the 80th day of a Nekeva, she now concludes the whole process of the Tuma. Usually she would have been Tovelet after her Yemei first 2 weeks. She's considered to be a Tful Yom for the next 66 days. That's called Tfulas Yom Aroch. It's a very long day. And at the end of that time, she now is Tehorah, and she brings her, after bringing her Korbanot, she becomes now completely Tehorah. The question is like this. Suppose she reconceives and aborts a fetus during that period. The fetus is already 40 days old. That's why we need to be talking about in a cave, because it couldn't happen. Obviously, to reconceive and then to abort within the 40 days, because then the fetus is not considered to be alive. So therefore, we're talking about a nekeva. Sometime within the 66 days, immediately after she came to her, she immediately reconceived. 40 days later, she aborts that fetus. Now, does she need separate korbanot? No. Because we darshan from the pasuk zot torata yoledet afilo aleidot harbe. Now, suppose that the fetus was aborted on the day of the Malot, so it's the last day. But she still has not been ru'iyah to bring korbanot. Doesn't matter. Since at the time that she now became, so to speak, chayevet at a separate set of korbanot for this leida, she was still included in an overall chiyev of the korbanot of Zot Torat HaYoledet. She now starts the whole process of the Tuma over again. With Tuma, with Yom Alot again, and at the end of which she's now able to bring a single set of Karbanot for both Leidot. Now how about if there was a third Leidot, which occurs now in the period she reconceives after the abortion, and now has the same problem again, would we include the third Leida? Because the third Leida is certainly not included in the theoretical Yomalot of the first Leida. So continues the Braita to say over here, Yomalot Tavi, but Toch Malot Lotavi. As long as she wasn't yet able to bring her Karbanot, a set of Karbanot will complete the Chiev of all of the Leidot during that period. You might think that that's only true, that she doesn't need to bring a korban on a leida that occurred before the malot, of the original leida. She has to bring a korban for a leida that was after the original malot, even though it's in the middle of the malot of the second leida, because you can't potter with one set of korbanas if the leida was after that set of korbanas was already chayav. That's what you might think. And tipater mishteyam, not tipater mishteyam, doesn't really make any sense. If we have the girsa, the achronim and mefarshit, and therefore she would only potter herself from the first two, but not from the third, which is a little weird, but okay. Says the Torah, Tamud Lomor, Vimlot Yemei Torah, Levenu Levat, only on the day that she's actually mimalei her Yemei Tohar, which is in the 80th day already. So then on that melot, she should bring keves ben shnato lo'ola el petach ha'moed el ha'kohen. Now remember that she was tovelet already normally after the 2 weeks in the case of the nekeva, so that she can begin her 66 days of tyra. So that be'etzem, as long as she goes ahead and she brings her carbon, so you see from here, that b'yom melot tavi, only on a leida, with darshan like this, that b'malot levenu labat, and if she was the yoledes avenu avat b'yom malot, so then she can bring a korban, and on a leida, which is betoch malot lotavi, so in other words, the leida shlishit, even though it's betoch yimei the malot of the leida hashnia, she's not mevia korbanot. Now, on this, Rav Kana explains what's the logic for this, that why do we say that she doesn't bring a korban on the leida shlishit, which once it's already, even though it's after the malot of the leida rishona, because shani hacha de mechaser korban. Since at the time of the leida shlishi, she still wasn't ruia to be makrov korbanos because she was betoch yimei toar of the leida shnia. So memela the korban that she brings patters her even for any korbanot that had been due before this korban could have been brought, including the third one. Asks the Gemara. The problem is hatanami. Even where she would have been yoledes on the yomalot itself, where over there it's mashma that she is chayev as a korban on the second later, on the third later, whichever one comes out at the yomalot, where she could have been tovela, where she could have been makriv for korbanot. The problem is that it only identifies the malot, which is the malot of Yemei Tohar, without taking into consideration her relationship to the tefillah. The mashmaut is that even though she didn't necessarily complete now her zman to be able to bring the korban, because who's to say that today is the day in which she's ruya to be marked for korbanos? Maybe she was just tovela today. Who? I mean, it's true that normally she would have been tovela before in order to become tohara after her first 2 weeks of the nekeva. But what if she didn't? How can we make it dependent on the yom malot? Why don't we make it dependent in the actual korban? So did you see, as long as it's the day in which she's mimalei, and in which it's shayach for her to bring a korban, how is it shayach? Because she could go to the mikveh today. So this is the yomalot. So Rav Kahana's reasoning over here, remember that the language Rav Kahana is a little bit misleading. I mean, Rav Kahana said shayne hacha, which doesn't really mean, as the Rush explains, this case is different. Shayne hacha means what is the reason. In other words, how do we explain the difference between if it's achr malos or betoch malos, if it's b'yom malos and betoch malos, that's all that he means by shayne hacha. But in any event, what was the svara? That she's mechuseret, the ability to bring the korban. But the truth is, if she had been tovelet later, she also would have been now a mechuseret harev shemesh, and therefore she also should be unable to bring her korban, and because of that we should view until the point of which after there's Erev Shemesh, we should view it as whatever carbon she finally can bring, kapat, as many leidot as there were before. Or malaya bayit, which our bias says, no, it makes perfectly good sense to make it dependent on the yom malot. Because even if she was only tavela today, There's nothing that is chaser. Why? Because Shimshon and Mela Arva, exactly the words that Rava had said to Abaye when Abaye raised precisely this issue. In our case, the Abaye uses to answer the question of the Gemara in the case of the Leda. So it's clear that Abaye, once he had heard this word from Rava, was Chayzerbo, and he recognized that in the case where you've done whatever it is that you could possibly do, there's no longer anything which remains to you to become tahor, except the end of a process which is already in motion, which is unstoppable. So there Abaye also came to understand that something which is memela is not considered to be in any way a choser taira, and is no longer, in terms of cheskas tuma, in our case, a cheskas tuma. There's no longer considered to be a state of tuma in the case of the Leda, to say that it should be unable to bring her karmanas. And therefore, it's clear, as the Gemara said, Af Abaye Hadar Bei, he too came to recognize Rav Sfar. Tzofa inu metameling in charetz, tanya sofik tuma tzofa bein bekelim ben bekar katora. Rabbi Shimon omer bekelim tmeya, bekar katora. 9:30 b'tzer Shabbos? Yes. Okay. My time in the Tanakh, Rabbi Yitzchak Avadim iktib, b'chol asher etzah sheretz kol bakom b'shur etzah kniv, on the other hand, all right, make up your mind. Okay, tzad vaday magaota, mei sofik mato magaota hor. Rabbi Shimon, my time, huh? Omer ula ktiv, on the one hand, ach ma yanubor mikva mayim yeh tohor. And then it says, kol anogem in evlatam yitma. How do you explain that? Okay, so tzofa bekelim tamei bekarka tohor. Tana rabbanan kolani tolam ni grorim sveikan tamei, because they're not, they're shenkun munachim, they're not really floating. Van izrakin sveikan tohor, chutz mikizayat tamei, vamayala apnei etuma, v'chol davar sheni mitamei ben lamalaka lamata, latu yizav vizava. Boi romi barchoma. Rambam's gear says, sheretz bekli. V'kli tzofa apnei amayim mahu. Bata kli azlinan, o bata maya azlinan. Im timzama bata kli azlinan, or bata met azlinan. Im timzama bata kli azlinan, that it's considered to be munach. How about sheretz agabi met? Again, the Girsat Rama mau. Kiven da haitumat erev, haitumat shiva, command the mochta tuma bekli damya, and therefore it's not tumat safa for the sheretz. O dilma tumas mechtehi, and basically it's all floating. What about sheretz agabi nevela v'nevela tzafa mahu? Kima de tarvayu tumat erev, enan, erev inun, tumas mirtehi, and therefore it's considered to be floating. Odima hakizayet v'kadasha, and therefore it's different shiurim, and it's viewed as munach on what's under it. How about sheretz agabi sheretz mahu? Ki ani vaday chachyoninu, odima kibne mafski miadori into two physical pieces, lo? How about sheretz agabi nevela shenimucha mahu? Do we say since it's nimucha, it's certainly mashka? Oduma, it starts as an uchla, as a din of an uchla. How about sheretz agabi shechva zera mahu? Do we say considered to be mashka, or do we say imtim zolomer kibbe de mit akra? Since it comes now from a body which is a solid, so it's habileki uchla. Sheretz agabi mechata, so mechata stuffing up near my mahu. I give up. Lo yadina. Take. Omer of Amnuna, Nozir v'yosef pesach shochu bekever at the home on the day b'shvi shalayim. Meaning, obviously they were tamei. If there's a shvi shalayim, so they had been mazish l'shvi. They're still tor. My time alo limitu and sotam lemistar. Masiv Rova, what are you talking about? The Mishnah says beferish not like that. It says yarad l'termi tumat amet. So over there, it's still tamei, even though it's tumat at home, because cheska tamei tamei. Okay, we don't have this speech cheska tor tor. Omar Lay, oh yeah, well of course. I mean that's because he's not tor yet. I mean Abadin Ruch Abanazir, what do you think I'm talking about on the seventh day when he didn't go to the mikvah? We didn't have a tiglachim. He went to the mikvah I'm talking about. Omar Lay Rava, oh so, I mean I never was asking on the case of the Yosef Pesach. I mean obviously Afanam Adin Rukabazim, so basically we're agreed. Omar Lay Abaye, what do you mean? You're all wrong. What about Terev Shemesh? He's still a Tamei, there's still a Cheskas Tuma. Forget about Erev Shemesh, Shimshim and Mela Arava. And the truth is, Af Abaye Harabe. The Tanya, Yom Alot, in terms of a Yoleda Tavi, Toch Malot Lotavi, Yochalotavi ala Leidash, Lifnei Malot, Avotavi ala Leidash ala Achamot, Vidipotem Rishteen, Tamad Lomar, Vlot Yime Torah, Yom Alot Tavi, Toch Malot Lotavi. Omrif Kana Shani Achar, the reasoning is, the Mechusar Korban. What about Asim Naimim Mechusar Erev Shemesh? Amar Rabbi Shimshon Amela Arva, and therefore he clearly had Chavrata.